Well, today we are going to have a lot of fun. We have got an exciting guest today, Suzanne Hotchman. After losing her 15-year career in corporate America due to a sizable layoff, Suzanne built Looking Up Career Consulting and Life Coaching as a means to help people in her community recover from job loss and career transitioning. Having gone through the experience herself, it became evident that people were in need of support and guidance through what can be considered the most stressful occurrence in one's life. Suzanne's goal in developing Looking Up is to provide low-cost philanthropic services to people who would otherwise not have the resources to aid in these very important transitions. Well, this is going to be a great interview, and I have been looking forward to this for about 2 months. Suzanne, welcome to The Coaching Perspective.
Oh, thank you, Doug. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I am happy to have you here. I'll tell you, your work in social media has made me feel like you and I are close friends, and we've never really physically met yet.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
That's wonderful. Well, let's jump right in. Tell our audience what you did before what you're currently doing.
Right. Well, I actually had a 15-year career in the pharmaceutical business. I started out as a pharmaceutical representative and did that responsibility for a lot of years and really enjoyed it. And I was a rep in many of the major counties in Southern California. And then I was promoted into a specialty sales position where I called on hospitals and teaching institutions. And then from there, I spent the last 6 years of my experience in the pharmaceutical business as a district manager.
Okay. So went from the sales right into the district manager. So what happened? It sounded like it was all rosy and looking up there for a while.
And it was. It's like any industry. You think you're going to ride that wave for a lot of years, right? And it's really no different, unfortunately, than thousands of people in Southern California who have gone through this sort of experience where they have suffered a job loss. Unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry is not immune to this sort of situation. And in 2010, the company that I worked for went through our first big reorganization that resulted in job loss. And thankfully, I was retained during that particular time. But unfortunately, this past January, we were faced with yet another reorganization, and my position was eliminated during that time.
Well, so what a great way to start the New Year's, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It was January 19th. But, you know, I was so grateful to have that year and a half from the last reorganization because I learned so much in that year and a half that I firmly believe was such a solid foundation for moving forward.
Well, you know, I have the feeling that you're a person who learns from all of life's events, good and bad. So,
thank you.
Well, tell me a little bit about coaching. What brought you to coaching? What's your background in coaching?
Well, I've always been, I feel, a coach. Even when I was a little kid, my oldest brother, I'll tell you a personal story, is developmentally disabled. So I grew up with someone who had special needs, and I grew up watching him go to special schools and attend the Special Olympics and all of these wonderful things. And I firmly believe that my brother David is really, truly the foundation for me to really need to have a career in helping people. And I really believe that early on in my life, being a coach, meaning helping people find their way, helping people uncover their greatest attributes and skills, all of that actually resonated in me as a very young girl. And that has really just carried on with me throughout the course of my life. And I like to call this sort of my career non-negotiable. I always have to be in a position in my work environment where I'm helping people or coaching people or training people. And I can thank David and my parents for that.
What a great definition of coaching. I love it. I haven't heard it put that way. You talked to me a little bit about a coaching model that you were exposed to. You want to fill us in on that?
So, you know, I was actually exposed to several different coaching models, particularly when I was in graduate school. I went to a school in Los Angeles that really placed a lot of great emphasis on coaching and teaching people how to really work with people. And granted, my degree was in organizational management, which is sort of, as we know, the newfound industrial psychology. So I was exposed to a lot of people process when going through my master's program. But even in the company that my former company that I just came from, they were real advocates for teaching people how to be great coaches. But I always say coaching is really innate. You can't often teach people the qualities of a good coach. And I was lucky enough to not only be exposed to numerous classes within my graduate program, but also at my former company through leadership development programs and ongoing trainings. I was exposed to leadership and coaching principles such as Situational Leadership 2, which is really a foundational coaching perspective for sales representatives, where you're able to tailor your coaching to individual skill sets and tasks and development areas.
Okay, so coaching has been second nature to you before it really started being called coaching.
I believe so. You know, it's funny. Early on in my life, I always said, I want to be a psychologist, okay, because I always had this interest in helping people. My parents can attest to this. I'm always talking about wanting to help people. And again, I believe that that really comes from being exposed to someone with special needs, such as my brother, and really just having an active, innate interest in societal issues. And I have always wanted to be in a position where I can utilize my own life experiences, my own learnings, and even the things that haven't gone well in my life, turn those all into a positive and serve that as a role model and sort of a just something that people can look to for learning, and realizing that even though things can happen in your life that are not ideal, such as my layoff, there can always be a silver lining. And I feel that coaching, no matter what type of client you're coaching, whether it's a client that's looking for career coaching or someone who's just looking to make transitions in their life, I feel that if you can bring forth personal stories or anecdotes that can help people realize, you know what, you're not the only one, I think that is really a foundation for the start of a good coaching session.
That's wonderful. Anything else about your experience before we talk about your current business that you want to fill us in on?
Well, you know, I feel as if it's really important, I think, for people nowadays, particularly in this job market and what's going on out there in industries and corporations, that people really come to grips with admitting that it is okay to ask for help, okay? It's really okay for people to say, you know what? I'm in a position where I'm ready to change, I'm ready to transition, and I need somebody to walk me through that journey. And a coach can manifest in any sort of situation, right? It can be a coach within an organization, a business, or it can be a private coach such as myself, regardless of what type of a situation it is. People need to realize that it is okay to go to your coach, your manager, your leader, whoever it is that is mentoring you, and say, you know what, I am confused, I don't understand, and I need help in understanding my skill sets and the goals that I want to achieve in order to be better. And I feel that coaching right now, in this day and age, in this economy, in this job market, is really such an important position to be in.
You hit it right on the head. People really need the support more than advice. They just need somebody to support them when we're going through these difficult times. And
yes,
and a coach is one of the best places to get that.
And you know what I find, Doug, if I may? What I find in, let's say, corporate America or big corporations or organizations, I find that managers try to separate themselves from that coaching label. Because after all, I was a manager. I was hired to manage a group of pharmaceutical reps and sell, you know, millions of dollars worth of pharmaceuticals. But at the end of the day, if you're not addressing the baseline necessity of uncovering individual skills, areas of development, and actually helping those employees reach a different level, then you're doing yourself a disservice. We find that in businesses, you know, goals increase and expectations increase and business models change. But if you don't give employees the opportunity to adjust to those changes or give them those tools to help adjust to those changes, then you have people that feel stuck and they feel like they're not producing the way that they should, and then that leads to people just not being happy in their work life.
And you know, you bring up an interesting point. You know, my own definition is I feel managers are there to manage the process.
Mm-hmm.
Their other job is to coach the people.
Yeah.
And they have to do both. They have to do both.
There has to be a happy medium there. And I have found in my long history in work, regardless if I, you know, in my history working on the psych ward or working in a pharmaceutical business area, it really is a happy balance, you know. And when I was a manager, I managed that. So I have sort of this balance of strong empathy for employees. And there may not, for some people may argue there may not be a place for empathy in the work environment, but there really has to be an empathetic component to coaching and leadership. So you can understand where people are coming from. It helps to generate the right questions to help pull out of employees or clients what's bothering them and what they're searching for. In fact, when I was a manager, I found my best meetings were people that were trouble, you know, that maybe weren't giving it 100% or maybe they were stuck. And if you ask the right questions and you sort of balance it out with that empathy, you can pull out of them what's really troubling them, and usually it's something that's very fixable, hence implementing coaching models such as situational leadership too, to help them gain the confidence to assume that task and succeed in it. The other side of it is the expectation. That's the balance piece of it. I kind of draw it out for people as sort of a seesaw, if you will. And you try and manage to that balance. The expectation part is where you have to hold those people accountable. Now, some people, some coaches, some managers, some leaders are heavy on one side. So you have people that are very heavy in the expectation side, and they're missing that people process. And then you have people that are heavy on the empathetic people process side, and they miss the expectation part of it, which does nobody any service. So I feel that the goal of a good coach, again, leader, manager, I put it all in the same boat, is to really try to work on yourself, right, as trying to find those healthy balances so you can do your clients or your employees a service.
I can't wait to read the management book, Suzanne. Have you written it yet?
Not yet.
Well,
not yet.
I think well, you ought to think about it.
That was a gift that was given to me by my mentor, who's also a PhD in executive coaching, and what a fine person he is. I was really sort of concerned when I launched Looking Up that I didn't have a doctorate. And I kept going back to him and saying, you know, I really think that I should get my doctorate. I had started one several years ago, and then when I was promoted into management, I backed away from it just so I could have time to work in management. But he kept saying to me, Susie, you don't really need it. I said, really? He said, because it's very rare for somebody. I have a history working in counseling. I worked on a psych ward for many years in addiction. So I have, you know, sort of this foundation in counseling and people process. But I also now have some longevity in business. And he said, a lot of times you really don't find that balance. And I was so flattered to receive that. But it's very, very true. So that's really where that seesaw kind of balance perspective came into play.
And you've taken us full circle. So now tell us about Looking Up. Tell us about your business. What did you create it to do, and what are you doing, and how are you different from other people?
Well, you know, it's a labor of love. I will tell you that it has gone through many different transitions. I actually established Looking Up back in 2010 when the company I was working for went through their first reorganization, as I talked about, because I wanted something to fall back on. At that time, we actually had a month to prepare for notification of whether or not we would be retained or not. So I had a month to prepare my team for what was to come, and then I also had that month to prepare myself. And many of my employees have said over the years, and I'm very flattered to hear this, but they say, you need to start your business in coaching. And I'd say, well, no, I'm your boss. You know, I'm working for this company, and I can't do that. And they said, no, you really need to start a business in coaching. So when we were in this month period, when we were waiting, I really took that to heart. And I actually established the business in 2010, though I was retained, and my organization was kind enough to let me run it on basically on the side. Because we were so busy, I didn't have an opportunity to really run it. Since my own layoff in January of this year, the day after my layoff, I started getting phone calls from people that were also laid off that day. And they said, we would like to hire you to help us through this transition. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is becoming a reality. So within the first week, I was seeing clients, people that had worked for the company that really wanted their resume updated, consulted with, and just to help them deal with the stress of the layoff. That right there was primarily what I needed to start with, and that's what we did. And from there, I kept getting referrals from people, friends and family members. And I started building this business very quickly within the first 2 months of losing my own job.
Okay. Tell me about the name. You know, I don't know if you realize, you have a very unusual name for your company in that
Yep.
you include the term both consulting and life
exactly.
coaching.
Exactly.
And so many coaches are leery of being labeled as consultants,
right.
As if you can't do both. So tell me about that.
Well, that was part of the evolution. When I first started the business, I called it Looking Up Career Consulting because I found that need to help people through transition. But what I found when I was seeing clients, there is such a life coaching component because I realized that I couldn't do career consulting without asking the right questions. And the right questions are usually very personal. Some of my activities are about, doing a self-assessment and a skill assessment. And oftentimes, typically in every session that I'm in, there's not a dry eye. Because what we realize is that career, job, whatever it is we're doing, really is a big part of who we are. People may argue, oh, it doesn't define you. Well, it may not define you fully, but it is really a big part of who we are. We typically choose careers that mean something to us. And if we don't, then that's why they're seeking our help, right? So it's something that is so personal and deep-rooted. And when people get into a position where they're feeling like they need to make a change and they don't know how, they feel stuck. And when you feel stuck, you feel like you're powerless. So a lot of my work with people has a life coaching component. And then once we can work through some of those feelings and those issues and things that keep them, what I call like a mental interference, where, you know, they have these things in their head that they can't let go of that are keeping them stuck. Once we can address those things, then we can start thinking and daydreaming and thinking about all the wonderful new career opportunities that they can go for. Now, the career consulting piece of it, like I say, is sort of my tell component. It really does mirror a lot of situational leadership where you have somebody at a lower development level and they don't know what to do, right? So your coaching is more of a tell type of a component, right? So you have somebody that says, I'm coming to you because I don't know what I'm doing. So we may find that the consulting piece of what I do is, okay, well, we need to consult on your resume, number one. Do you agree? Yes. We need to get you hooked up on LinkedIn. Do you agree? Yes. And so that's sort of the tell thing. It's sort of the checklist. And that's what we generate our homework assignments and our action steps by. So, and then the life coaching part of it is really the people process. And I really struggled with having the two concepts together, to your point. But I find that it works because I can't do one without the other.
You know, I agree with you completely, so I'm not attacking that position, but mm-hmm. I just want to clarify it for our audience. Do you find that you have to create a very clear transition in the discussion with the client when you go from your consulting hat to your coaching hat, or is it just sort of a blended process?
Oh, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that. It is a blending process. And I will say the way I structure my sessions really don't correlate with how the title is. I really do start with the life coaching component of it. And when I say life coaching, I'm talking about, again, that process of asking great questions to pull out the feelings and the emotions associated with what even they're doing. So, for instance, I had a session the other day with someone who said, I want to work on the resume. And I told him, I said, well, I'd be happy to help you consult on the resume, but I need to find out more about what's driving you to your next career. He's been out of work for 2 years, and now he's ready to go. And I said, but I just need to ask the questions. And when I started asking the questions, I saw the eyes well up with tears. And then I asked him, what are the tears about? And he said, I didn't realize until now how stressed I've been the last 2 years. I said, well, do you want to talk about it? And he said, yes. So we spent a good hour talking about the experience of not being able to find work, what it was like to wake up every day with virtually no place to go. And once he was able to talk about it and emote about it, he felt so much better. And then we were able to do that transition into, okay, now let's talk about what you really want to do and what's holding you back from maybe seeking out a different career or job opportunity that maybe an hour ago you wouldn't even think about prospecting.
Great process. Great process. I love it.
Thank you.
You know, I warned you about this question. You know, I ask it of all of our guests, and I'm always surprised and pleasantly surprised at the answers. But the question is, you know, what is your guiding principle? What particular experience or key lesson have you learned in life that sort of you hold on to, that helps you deal with difficult times, that sort of points your compass true north? What is it for you?
Okay, so my guiding principle, and it's so very simple, it really comes down to people, okay? And it just goes back to what I was talking about before. And it comes down to doing right by my client, doing right by my employees, and really looking at myself as a coach, and then back in the day, a crisis response worker and all of that, and making sure that I have all of my ducks in a row, that I understand why I'm doing this coaching job and why I'm doing this counseling job, and making sure that I have myself in a position to fully understand my clients. My guiding principle is to make sure that whoever I'm in touch with, even like I said earlier, I've had employees that haven't really liked me that much, and I don't know why. Sometimes it's just not a good click. But I like to use those opportunities as a means to uncover the why. My guiding principle is that I will never discriminate, meaning that I will never take somebody, regardless of how they feel about me, their frustration with me, and turn my back on them. I have done a lot of research in great leadership, leadership principles of our past, such as, you know, people like Martin Luther King and even Gandhi, people that have, they're just so unique in their leadership. And I've always been fascinated by how they can bring groups of people together and their non-judgment of people. And I have done a lot of research and reading on these people, and it really comes down to if you really, excuse the expression, love people, if you love who people are, even the ones that make you crazy, you're going to spend the time with them. And that is what made my job as a district manager in the pharmaceutical business, and even this job now with clients that are, you know, that I get frustrated with. I just find it the biggest reward when you can work through your own self-frustration or the things that are bothering you to have a great session and a great outcome.
I love it. I love it. Thank you very much for sharing that. So tell me a little bit more about how you coach. What is your process? You know, is it mostly over the phone? Is it long term? Is it short term? What are some of the mechanics of the way in which you coach your clients?
Well, it's really all of the above. I've made myself very flexible and upwardly mobile. I tend to meet people out and about to make it easy for people. A lot of my clients have children and they work, so I like to keep myself really open for business 7 days a week for whoever needs me. And I have done phone sessions. I've had some people from out of state that have sought out help, and I've done the beauty of the computer, right? I've done Skyping and iChats, and it really does work well, and it helps to expand my reach, and it really is helpful for both parties. I often have clients, quite honestly, that may be long-term, but for long-term for me, maybe 5 sessions. What I like to do with my sessions is it's a very actionable process, okay? So if somebody's coming to me for more than 3 sessions, then maybe we're doing something wrong. So my goal is to make sure that people understand that before I take them on as a client, that they are committed to the process. After each session, we create a list of homework assignments and action steps to help guide them towards their goal. And if I find that a client is not doing their homework or they're not willing to do that part of it, then I actually have been known to refer people out, because I need their 100% commitment that they will participate in their own session and their own process in order to make this work. I can't do it for them. So that's sort of the expectation part of it, right? So that's that balance that I ask my clients to commit to before we start a session. So the first session is typically that, again, that life coaching piece of it, where we do self-assessments. I ask them to list out how they just feel about themselves as people. And then I have them also write out how they view themselves as business professionals or workers. And I try and marry those two aspects together to show people that you don't necessarily have to leave yourself, quote unquote, at home, you know, to go out and find a job that suits you. And then we also do skill assessments. I ask people to work with me in developing what we call the five skill structures or five skill pillars, these five skills that they've accumulated over the course of their life. That's sort of their go-to skill, and start to tell their story about who they are in the work environment. And then from there, we create action steps and homework. Maybe it's to start working on their resume or start piecing it together. Maybe it's to start building their profile on LinkedIn. Maybe it's to write out their skill story and who they are as business professionals. We've had a multitude of different homework assignments. And then the second session is typically the follow-through, right? It's holding them accountable. Show me what you've done. And then from there, we move on to taking the next steps in the process. And typically what happens after two or three sessions, I send them on their way. We have their definitive list of things they're going to do over the next month. And with what I have to offer with my business, it leaves it flexible enough for people to say, all right, you know what, I have an interview. I'm going to call Suzanne and work on interviewing skills. Or maybe I feel like I'm taking a step back and I just need an hour of life coaching and process. So I leave it very flexible for people to come and go as they need in order to suit what it is they're going through at the time.
So, Suzanne, would I be right in saying then that what the end goal or let's say the end product that the client typically comes to you with to get is help in their career transition, mm-hmm. and in the process you're also doing life coaching?
Exactly. Because again, like I said, there's not a significant gap between the two. Because again, when we get up and go to work every day, it's a very important part of our lives. It takes up a significant amount of our day. So people need to feel connected with what they're doing and where they're spending their time. And the people that are feeling stuck and the people that are unhappy in their work, it's such a daunting task to think about making a change, particularly if, you know, you have a family and you have a mortgage and all of those things that keep you from taking that next step. But what people forget is they need to be happy too. You know, people are typically with great intentions say, you know what, I'm going to stay here because I need to provide for my family and it's comfortable. But if you ask them if they're happy, they say no. So, you know, my goal is to help people to uncover what's keeping them stuck, what's going on in their head that's keeping them from making those transitions. And then we start dreaming. And then we start placing tangible action items to that dream to try and make it a reality. But I've also had people that want to pursue higher education and they don't know how. I've had people that have asked me to just sit and help them build their LinkedIn profile. So it's just really such a fun and great opportunity just to provide a service to whatever it is these folks need.
I feel like I'm not holding up my end of the bargain here. You're passionate about what you're talking about, and I'm sitting here asking you questions. I apologize for that.
No.
Hey, this is great. Don't go away. We're going to take a pause for a commercial, and then I'll be right back with you.
Sounds great, Doug. Thank you.
All right.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
Well, you're listening to The Coaching Perspective, and let me just say that we have been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Our primary focus is helping to create more effective teams. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual member. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, communication workshops, and whatever you need. Not whatever you need. I'm a master certified coach, a past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation. And today I am happy to be hosting Suzanne of Looking Up Career Consulting and Coach Life Coaching. And we have had a fascinating conversation, if you just tuned in. Suzanne, this is great. You are really sharing lots of good information with us today.
Oh, thank you. I sure hope so.
Oh, definitely you are. You know, the thing I find really, truly unique about your coaching here is the short duration of your client interaction.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for the sense that you jump in, you deliver a product, you take care of it, and then you put them on their way, which is really what coaching is all about, is helping people to stand on their own two feet and go forward.
Right.
You mentioned that you also are available for follow-up and that's not unusual at all. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. So in the evolution of my business, I felt it was important that people knew that they can contact me at any time for a multitude of different purposes. When I was, I'll just be honest with the listeners, when I was developing this business, I had the way I did my packages was, you know, you could do three or four sessions in a package, and then that was it. But I felt like I was cutting them off. And I wanted to create this opportunity both financially for people to receive low-cost coaching, but then also have the freedom to come back when they want to and address particular needs that they may have that may creep up. So, for example, not too long ago I received a call from someone who said, I have an interview tomorrow that kind of crept up on her. Can you meet with me? And I said, absolutely. And I love being of service to people like that, because I think about times where I've had interviews or, you know, job opportunities, and let's say I had to hop on a phone screen or something, and I'm just not sure how to approach it. And I just come from a place, I've been there, and I just want to be that person for people who I can be there for them when they have these things sort of pop up, to just sort of be that extra ear and the ability to, you know, be there to help them role play and give some perspective to what they're doing. And that's why I added the follow-up visits.
You know, and I love it, because I think that sort of on-call coaching for the coach is so rewarding, because the client comes to you sort of hyper-focused. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great opportunity to have impact on them.
That's very true. But but here's the expectation piece of it again. So let's say somebody calls me and they say, I need help with my interviewing skills. Okay, so I don't sit there and tell them what they should be doing. I really do treat it as a process, as we all know as coaches, that we need to hold people accountable for their own thinking. And I think that's for people like you and I, and I'm sure your listeners, who really truly care enough about people to go into this business. We like to help people so much that we kind of forget to let them think for themselves, okay? So in those follow-up sessions, even when we have somebody that's in a position where they, you know, have something kind of last minute, I really like to remind myself to not be the savior, you know, where I go in and I save everybody, but to take a step back and ask the right questions and tell me, well, what do you think about answering that question? I always want there to be a learning component in my business. And again, even though, you know, we do the consulting piece of it, which is the more the tell piece of it, there just has to be that part in the process in order to make this all work, to keep people thinking. to enhance the critical thinking, the strategic thinking, and feeling confident enough for them to say, you know what, I think I know what I'm doing, and I think I know the right answer to that.
And they do. To their own surprise, they have the right answer sitting right there, just locked inside, that you're helping them to unlock and get to it.
Right. That's why I don't like to keep people for so long. I'm not so much worried about keeping longevity with a client. What I'm worried about is, are they grasping the concept? Are they grasping their potential? And again, that's why I always make sure that people walk away with action steps and homework, and I hold them accountable. So when they come back, they say, you know what, Susie, I did my homework. This is the advancement that I made. And then we move on.
Okay. Look, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because we've kind of labeled this session as starting up your coaching practice. And and one of the things that truly has impressed me about you, and the list's getting longer the more I listen to you.
Oh, thank you.
But one of the things is the unbelievable amount of exposure that you've had since you left your job with TV, radio, and social media. So share with our audience, what did you do to create this fan club that you've got going out there?
Well, I have to be honest with the listeners that it's nice to have people in friends in high places. I will tell you that. A dear, dear friend of mine is an Emmy Award-winning news producer in Los Angeles, and she has followed me through my career, ups and downs, and has been such an advocate for me. And when I started this business and I started seeing clients, she and I would get on the phone, and I would just tell her about, my gosh, this is so valuable, you know, and I will tell your listeners, and I'll be honest with you, Doug. I mean, I financially make a mere fraction of what I did in corporate America, but I am so just overwhelmed by the value that it has brought to me as an individual and as a professional. And she said, I want to do a story on that. I want to do a story on how you left corporate America and what that felt like to you, and how did you take what you've learned and your life skill sets and all of that wonderful information and turn it into this business. And so that was the first story that was done. It was sort of that managing transitions, and I was able to give my 5 tips for transitioning from a job loss back into the job search. And then from there, KTLA really liked that piece, so they asked me to come in and do a live segment with them on Father's Day evening, live in studio. Where I was able to talk about, yes, daunting, I'll tell you that. It was a wonderful experience, and I was able to provide my 4 tips to what I feel can help with a successful interview. And then from there, I have added a component to my business, which is the military component, where I help people transitioning out of the military, maybe retiring from the military or being discharged, and helping them assimilate into the civilian workforce.
You know, and that's really intriguing. I noticed that, and I mean, we hear all the time about pick your niche and make a place for yourself that's well-defined. And adding that military component, I don't know if that's significant in your business or not, but it sounds just like pure genius.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you how it happened. I was folding laundry. I'll just be quite honest with your listeners. I was folding laundry, and I was watching a national news show that was reporting on the thousands of people that will be retiring from the U.S. military between now and the end of the year. And I just stood up. I had this epiphany, which I'm known to have, a lot of epiphanies in my life. And I stood up, and I walked to my computer, and I emailed the webmaster. I said, please change my website to say reduced rates or philanthropic services to active military and veterans. It was just that split second. And from there, I started to market to people, and just through word of mouth, I was able to actually meet with a couple of military. And then also, I am currently working with the girlfriend of someone who is stationed at Camp Pendleton. And unfortunately, he's having a lot of trouble, which is impacting her, so I'm providing services for her because she's providing a service to him by trying to support him. And again, it's just an amazing and wonderful, gratifying opportunity. And so we were able to do some follow-up with that just this past Sunday. I was live in the studio again and talked about a follow-up with one of my military clients and how the military can successfully or work towards successfully transitioning from the military sector to the civilian sector.
You know, and I just want to point something out that's probably obvious to our listeners, but you know, as coaches or as in really any business, we listen to the marketing people tell us to develop a niche. And you know, it doesn't ring true with many of us because it sounds like a gimmick. But obviously what you've done is this niche is an area that you have a heart for, that you believe in. And therefore that comes across and it makes it real.
Thank you. The first question that they asked me was, you know, why are you doing this? And I simply said the profound respect I have for the military. I have so many friends that have served in the military as well as former colleagues and employees. And I just honestly see such a unique and special gift in these folks. And I, you know, listening to the stats of how many are going to be retiring and listening to some of the soldiers on this national news show, some of them are crying because they're so concerned about leaving what they would call comfortable, believe it or not. Regardless if they've seen combat, regardless if they work in an office, it's all to serve the main purpose. And it is a comfortable place for them. And if there's longevity in the military, then it's the more comfortable they are. It's a safe place for them. And now they're looking to expand into this big, bad workforce. And again, with the job market the way that it is really daunting for these people. So I thought, you know what, I want to help them. And it's just been so incredibly gratifying.
Well, thank you for doing that. That is a wonderful service, and I appreciate your doing it for our military, really. You mentioned the word marketing. What else do you do for marketing? You know, that is such a scary thing for most coaches.
Oh, yes. and it's been that has been very daunting for me. I think daunting is the key word here for me as well. I, quite honestly, I have been managing very well through word of mouth. And I continue each week to receive calls from people that said, you know, I received your name from my friend who has seen you as a coach, and that is so incredibly flattering. Facebook has been a wonderful opportunity for me to market my business. I'm currently working on an actual professional Facebook page. But even just on my private page, I have people that are reaching out and wanting help for either themselves or for their spouse or for their children. Of course, the media, that was a gift, quite honestly. So I received a lot of prospects from the media coverage and the different appearances I've made on the news. But I am constantly looking for ways to really put myself out there. And I have people approaching me asking if they could support me in marketing myself. So I have a lot of great opportunities out there to get my business out and about.
And you know, I just want to make a comment about your Facebook page, and you've been kind enough to let me be a friend of yours on there, so I've been able to follow you. And you know, so many times people talk about the fact, and you just mentioned you were going to create a professional page versus your personal page. But you know, when I want to hire somebody, when I want to do business with somebody, I want to know who they are personally.
Right.
I want to know what they're like. And you have done a wonderful job of creating, I assume, an online version of the real person that we all want to get to know and be friends with.
Oh, thank you.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Well, look, as we start to wrap up here in a few more minutes, I'm really, the other thing I'm impressed with is your commitment to give back to the community. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Well, thank you. This is part of the evolution of my business. I have really looked at different ways to market myself, to price my services. And what I have found is simply this. There are so many people out there that just simply need help. And regardless if I'm getting the income or not, I was lucky enough to you know, have financial support from my last employer, which I'm really grateful for. And I'm actually using that as an opportunity to just get out there and help people. And it's just been, again, so gratifying. And I find that, you know, there are, and no offense, Doc, but there are a lot of executive coaches out there and people that can, you know, help, you know, the executives and the people in business. But I don't know that there's a lot of people out there who just kind of help people like me, you know, who, you know, I have many people that call me and say, I have no money. You know, can you help me? Well, of course I can. And I've done numerous phone sessions with people that, you know, that just have no money and they admit to it, and they're so incredibly grateful. And I always say 10 years from now I can look back and say, you know what, I did it the right way for me. And it's not to say that down the line, as I continue to grow, that I might, you know, add different components to my business and make it more of an income producing. But right now I see such a need for people just in general to reach out and just to receive the help that they deserve.
Well, I'm impressed with that. You know, so many people say, well, I'll start to give back after I've taken care of myself more.
Yeah.
And that is just such the wrong attitude. I mean, we need to start giving back first, and then that somehow turns around and comes back to us and we're taken care of. And I know that for myself, ever since I started coaching, I've always reserved Friday afternoons, which I'd not like to work Friday afternoons anyhow. And anytime I run into anybody, I don't have paying clients Friday afternoons. Anytime I run into someone who says, well, I'd like to get your coaching, but I can't afford it. It's okay. Let's set it up for Friday. There's no charge for Friday afternoon clients.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, and I respect what you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, look, as we're wrapping up here, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about today or that I interrupted you over that you want to share with the audience?
You know, I would just like to encourage people. I know that your listeners span a multitude of different occupations, but I just would like to encourage people, if they've ever had a thought of starting their own business, like I have with Looking Up, I highly, highly encourage people to pursue it or to at least look into it. I think a lot of times we edit ourselves, we're comfortable in corporate America, we're comfortable with what we're doing. But it is so incredibly gratifying. And it's constantly in flux, and it just pulls at your creativity, and it pulls at what you know to be true about your skills. And I'm just so grateful to have had this opportunity, and I just encourage people, if they've ever had that thought, to at least think about it and pursue it.
Wonderful. And how does someone get in touch with you?
Well, you can check me out on my website at www.lookingupconsulting.com.
Okay.
And they can type me an email, and I will receive it right away.
Susie, thank you very much for being on the show today. It's certainly been a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this so long, it's going to be a letdown that I won't look forward to it next week now.
Thank you, Doug, so very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and welcome as a member of the Coaching Perspective community. Thank you.
I'm very excited. Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
You do the same.
All right. Well, we've been listening to Susie Hotchman talking about Looking Up career consulting and life coaching. Fascinating interview. If you tuned in late, check the website or check the Coaching Perspective website. Probably Tuesday, Monday's a holiday, so give me a break. And we'll have her interview posted up there, and you'll be able to listen to it again or catch what you missed on it. Also, before I sign off here, I want to remind you that September 13th is the monthly meeting for the Orange County chapter of the International Coaching Federation. They've got a great guest speaker lined up, Marcy Weider, and she's going to be talking about dreaming big as a coach and how to tap into creative solutions for handling setbacks. Boy, maybe I should get her and Suzanne on the same show there. That would really inspire us. We could package that and go to the moon. Well, look, this is Doug Gefeller telling you that it's been a pleasure today, and thank you very much for being with us for the show. Be sure to tune in next Thursday. We'll be back with another great guest for your enjoyment.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.